We have been going through a series called Broken Vessels, How God Uses Imperfect People. And today we are coming to the fourth session of our message. And I truly believe that if you listen very carefully to the Word of God, God is going to speak to your hearts. God is not looking for perfect people. He is not. Because He is perfect. We are not. We are, none of us are perfect. So let none of us think we have it all made. We are still striving to do the will of God. So today, for starting from today on a three-part series, I'm going to speak on how God uses broken vessels. I want you to really pay attention to God's word, that God will speak to you and really, really inspire you about it. To get the word in motion and give the background, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. We're going to walk backward to a passage that allegorically God is showing how He is working in our lives. He took Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah, come to a place and I'm going to show you how I actually work in the life of the people. Now, you know that the Old Testament is a kind of a backdrop or a shadow of how He works in our life today. So I always look at the Old Testament as a teaching lesson, and from there we can get a lot of inspiration for our personal life. So when we come to Jeremiah chapter 18, please put your hand on your Bible, and wherever you are in Jeremiah chapter, how many got that place? Or somebody still searching for Jeremiah? It's in the Old Testament, by the way. Don't look to the New Testament. Old Testament, the one of the major prophets, Jeremiah chapter 18. And Jeremiah is speaking like this. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was. Who? The potter. He was making something at the wheel. There was a manufacturing process going on. There was a potter sitting. There was a wheel running, and the potter was trying to make something. What was it? He was trying to make a vessel. A vessel that can be of some use to somebody. And in verse number 4 he says, and the vessel that the potter made was made of clay, but it was marred in the hand of the potter. It got marred, and so he made it again into another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make. The potter is in control, and he is making a vessel. One of it got marred, and so he made it again into another vessel. And then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O Lord of Israel, O house of Israel. A message to the people of Israel saying, look, as the clay is in the hand of the potter, and the potter has absolute control over the clay in his hand, he says, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. He's speaking to the body of Israel that he called to himself as my people, and told them to come to my promised land, and I will be your God, and you shall be my special people. And this is to the people of the house of Israel. He is speaking about that just as the clay is in the hand of the potter, you are in my hand, O house of Israel. I want to talk to you about the jars or the vessels that God is working today. That is us. God is working us, and we are in His hand. And the clay vessel, the word is ostrakinos, which means earthenware. It's basically plain and ordinary pots. It's not a very complimentary term. It's just a plain a vessel, and that is what the potter is using. If you remember, and you turn your attention back to think about Genesis chapter 2, a good analogy is that God formed man. He formed him out of the dirt or the clay in the ground. The first man that God created was from the clay or the dust of the house. No matter how much we do the makeup and the perfume and this, remember, we are clay. This is the product of clay. God made clay. The reason our clay formed body is alive is because God breathed His breath into us, His breath into us. We are a living being, but we have been formed from the clay of the earth, and God is still having us under His control, and He is the master potter, and we are the clay. I'm just saying we are the clay today. Even though He has made us into different forms and uniquely crafted in the mother's womb, and God has made us, some of us with different features and everything. But let me tell you one brief statement. We are clay in His hand. He is making us into something that is worthwhile. There are many other passages in the Bible that speaks about that. One of the passages, let me read out to you. Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 8, where it says, "We are the clay and you are the potter. We are the work of your hand." We are the work of the hand of God. And as the clay is in a potter's hand, you saw that in that story that was behind the scenes for us, the vessel that the potter made was marred. He took out the clay. Again, he created another vessel. Because end of the day, what the potter is trying to do is make sure that the vessel that he makes does not have any blemishes, no mars, no leakages. It is beautifully for the use, for His use, for the Master's use. Recently, I heard a new line in psychoanalysis in California. In different kinds of psychoanalysis in California, they are now doing an analysis which is called psychoceramics. The term sounds very scientific, but actually, it's a study of crackpots and crackpot phenomenon. It's a derogatory term used with people with mental illnesses. That's a psychological study of people, and they have termed it so big. So some of the big terms, medical science, if you go back, it's something that is, sometimes is derogatory, and this term is actually a derogatory term. They call it psychoceramics. I mean, you think you are something, but they're studying crackpots and crackpot phenomenon. What happened for people with that kind of a sickness? But the fact of the matter is that we are all flawed, and we are cracked because of the sin that has infiltrated in our lives. We are not the perfect person that God created. Sin came into our lives. We are marred and we are fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are not reached the perfection stage. We are short of the perfection that God is creating. And for all of us, we need to try to be to the extent that God is trying to bring us to. So we are baked or half-baked vessels of mud, and God can only use those vessels that are submitted for His purpose. I'm telling you that. If you do not submit yourself for the purpose of God, God cannot use you. And I'm telling you why some people are used and why some people are not used is a lack of submission. And I will go further into that. Let me give you a biblical illustration. You know, we all love stories. Let's come to the New Testament. One of the most famous stories that all our children know, it is the first miracle of Jesus. Come to John's Gospel chapter 2 and verses 1 to 11, where we see about Jesus and His disciples being invited to a wedding in Cana of Galilee. He is a guest, and the mother of Jesus was there. And the story says that while they were there, they ran out of wine. And so Mother Mary came to Jesus and said, they don't have any wine. So this was basically before Jesus performed any miracle. And so Jesus answered, what is it? My time has not come. Why are you telling me this? And his mom knew exactly what's going to happen. Mary knew. So she did not even answer Jesus, but she told to the servants, you know what? Do exactly what He tells you, because He's going to solve the problem, the lack that you have. And we know the story, what happened. Now it's written here is that there were six water pots. I want you to turn your attention now. There are six water pots of stone, and in some places it says baked clay that was kept for purification, each of them containing 20 or 30 gallons of and it was just lying there. It does not say that it was there was water inside, but then Jesus told to the servants, fill up the water pots with water. So the vessels are lying there without much of a use, and Jesus says, fill it up with water. Now see what the servants do. They filled them up to the brim. Beyond, there's nothing more left, more, because they filled the whole the water pots to the brim. Then he said, Jesus said to them, draw some and take to the master of the feast. The master of the feast did not have any idea what it is. He thought like he's, again, people are bringing for wine tasting. So he tasted the wine and said, wow, what is it? This wine tastes so much better than the third class wine that you are giving to the new. Usually people give the good wine first and the last, the bad ones when the guests are too numb to realize the taste. But now you've done the opposite. You're giving good wine now. What is it? He didn't know that he was actually tasting something that significantly happened. The water turned to wine. Man, now this is a story we all know. Let me come to the crux of some spiritual truth that we can learn from it. God is the potter. We are the clay in his hand. So when we surrender to God's purpose, he can use us for his plan. What is the spiritual truths of the six clay vessels? Six is the number of man, as you all know. Seven means perfection. So there was some scholars say that there were about six of the disciples came with Jesus that day. I don't know. I don't have an account to prove that. But some Bible scholars believe there were six disciples with Jesus. But then there were six earthen pots signifying man. And these were all, some says it's water, stone, but some places say it was baked clay. So what is the significance of the water? You know, when you take a spiritual lesson from it, the water basically is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Because we know in the Gospels, everywhere Jesus speaks about living water, signifying about the Holy Spirit that he explains in John chapter 7 verse 35 to 37. He says, the water that he spoke was the Holy Spirit which was to be poured out. So the water is the Holy Spirit. And the vessels are the vessels of clay. And so what happens is that the Lord, that we need to fill these vessels with water, which means the Holy Spirit. And then what comes out, the spiritual significance of the wine, the fruit that comes out of our life, the wine, it is that blesses other people. That is a spiritual story for me. Because at the word of Jesus, something remarkable happened. Some poet has written like this, the creator of the universe looked at his creator, which creation, that is water. And he looked at the creation and the water blushed. And the blush turned into a red color and it turned form. And the elements of the water changed. And it became wine that was blessing the guests in that wedding. You know, at the word of Jesus, many things happened in the New Testament, we know. You know, Simon recognized that he was Peter. When Jesus, at his word, he said, Master, at your word. At Jesus' word, Peter cast out the empty nest in outside the boat and he pulled out boats loads of fish at the word of Jesus. You know, at the word of Jesus, Nathanael believed that Jesus is the Messiah. At the word of Jesus, the dead Lazarus, who was buried, came out of the grave after 4 days. At the word of Jesus, Jesus had to call him out, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out from the dead. We know the story. At the word of Jesus, the Holy Spirit in us can produce fruit in our lives as well. But you know, everything happened because of one thing. What was it? The fruit was produced when the servants, they obeyed Jesus. You know, Mary had told, whatever he says to you, do them. And the servants heard that and said, they were waiting. Even if they were, Jesus would have told, climb up the roof or do something, or you know, run around the house, they would have done that, because They were ready to obey whatever Jesus told them. This miracle happened because the servants, they were willing to obey what Jesus had told them. Today, if we are obedient to the word of God, God will use us greatly for his kingdom. You know, when we obey him at his word, don't doubt, just believe, just obey. He will work in and through us. And that is why before he went in Matthew 28, Jesus said, teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. As part of the Great Commission, teach them to obey. Not just listen, not just hear, but obey what I have commanded. And what was the commandment? Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens in your life unless you obey the word of Jesus. We all need to obey. That is what he's waiting for us. We believe, we say, God, I believe. But unless we obey, when he tells us, nothing happens. So when the servants obeyed, they filled the water to the brim of the clay vessel. And they did what was humanly possible. There was nothing more the servants could have done. They filled the water. And what happens? What we can do like that? You know, we can allow the Holy Spirit to fill us so that there can be no more of us, but it will be all of him within us. And then God will do some mighty miracles in our life. What happens first? He will change our inside and he will cause us to produce the fruit of the vine. And that was how God works. We never do work on our own. Nothing we do on our own will have a result, brothers and sisters. You know, you go to work, you work from morning to evening, you put in your best effort, unless God helps you. You know, you don't get the real prosperity and the success in even your workplace, even within your family, your individual life. Whatever you do on your own, you don't really achieve what is the best for you, because he has the best for you. And today I want to tell you, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to come inside you and fill you so that what is produced will be a blessing for you. Today Jesus is waiting for you to surrender to him and say, Lord, I want to empty myself of everything that I hold on to, and I want you to fill us. The intimacy, because that is what the Holy Spirit did on the day of Pentecost. He came in, he filled the people there. It was like wine, drinking wine. We know that that's the analogy in the New Testament, is the Holy Spirit like wine. Just like you are totally under the grips of the wine, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, you are totally intoxicated by him, and he's the one who will be guiding you. So, but only he will do it when you allow him to fill in your life. Jesus can change you. I'm just telling you, some of your situations are not changing because you do not allow God to do their work within you. Some of you think that you know better than anyone. I'm telling you that God knows better. He has a better plan for you. It is high time that we surrender ourselves before God and allow him to fill us, and the Holy Spirit to fill us, that we can be used in the hand. So let me tell you, the first miracle of Jesus was all about the fact that we are the clay and he is the potter. The Holy Spirit, that is the water that is placed in us, changes us by the word. At the word of Jesus, it changes us as he commanded to the servants, and it turned into wine at his word. If we fill with the Holy Spirit, he's going to transform us from the inside. And so when we are done that, he will ask us to go and be a blessing to the people outside. When they look at us, they see what we do, they say, this is the best. This person is really being used by God. Just like the wine keeper, the taster said, oh, this wine was the best. You know, God will enable us to get favor with other people. And so this is a liberating truth. I want to tell you, the truth is that once we know the truth and allow God to work, that truth will set us free to do the work of God. And God has not created you to be a decoration. He has created you for something that is valuable. Unless you hold something, a vessel is not good. You know, think about your kitchen cabinets. There are so many vessels lying there. Some of them are in your mantelpiece. Some of them are in your dining set. Some of the vessels will never see the light of the day because it's always going to be there as a showpiece. I am telling you, those are useless in some ways because it is not fulfilling the purpose that it was meant to be. As long as they are empty, they are not fulfilling the reason for which they are made. A pot never becomes a pot unless it is holding something for the master's use. In the same way, our life is a contradiction if we don't understand that God has created us to hold something so that we can bless other people. Let me give you another illustration. Imagine I have 3 clay pots on my table. The first pot is a pottery. Very fired up, glazed, painted, very beautiful looking for decorations. It is calling everybody's attention to itself. Look at me. I am so beautiful. We look at the beautiful painting. We admire it. Some other people are like that. They always try to draw attention to themselves. Look at me. Oh, I am the best. Look at my talents. I can sing so well. I can play so well. I can worship so well. I look so well. I'm beautiful. I'm handsome. You know, you are attracting people. And basically, even though you do that and it's a part of the framework, but you are not doing what you are destined to do, which is bless and be a part of God's kingdom. We heard about the kingdom of God. To be in the kingdom of God, we have to have Him as the King and that He will use us greatly. You know, when we display our own talents and abilities, they are no good unless God can use them for His glory. So that is the first pot that I want to mention. The pot that is for decoration. Everybody looks at it. Oh, beautiful. Everything looks so spick and span, but nothing comes out of it. Nobody is really blessed because of that. The next pot also is plainer than the first one, but it is doing a little bit of what it was designed to do. What it is? It is holding something. Imagine my second pot on my table is a pot that holds some flowers. Just imagine, like a flower pot, like a green plant or whatever, flowers. It's holding something. The reason for is that it is displaying something that it is holding. And that is the second pot. But then I want to come to the third pot that is in my table, which is kind of like a cracked pot. It's a broken vessel. And I will talk about that. This is going to take us step by step into a greater and use for the master. And I will tell you that later on. But today, let me just stop here. We are a plain pot. Our humanity is like an empty clay vessel. God has not created you to just sit around, look nicely to other people, that and call attention to yourself. God created us that we will contain something more valuable. You know, I'm just telling you, sometimes we think that, you know, we don't need God. We have got everything set up in our life. And we plan many things and we are looking future. Oh, I'm going to go this and do that. But I'm telling you that unless God's hand is upon us, we cannot really do something. For other people, you know, you are already full. One of the problems in this country is that you don't need anybody. You don't care about anybody. Hey, I have my credit card. I have my car. I have my job. I don't need anyone. I don't care. I am independent. You know, you are so full of yourself. I mean, I'm not speaking here. Maybe speaking to people somewhere else. But I'm so full of yourself. And, oh, I have done it. I am a success. I got everything. But I'm telling you, as long as you have that attitude, God cannot use you. We are a pot to hold something more valuable. Because that is how God is not looking for a pot that is full, but He is looking for a pot that is empty. And that is what Jesus found in the Cana, where there were 6 earthen pots that were empty. And that got full with the water. When Jesus told, the water became full. Today we need to ask Him to soak us and make us full with the water of the Holy Spirit, because that is the way that God can use us for the glory of God. Let me give you one more Bible illustration before I close here. We are almost at the end of time. Let me turn your attention to the story of the prophet Elisha and the widow. This story is found in 2 Kings chapter 4. You know, it's in the Old Testament. The story is that one of Elisha's friends died and left a widow and 2 young sons. This widow was penniless. Creditors were even coming to claim the sons to be like slaves. Elisha came and asked this widow, "What do you have in your house?" The widow said, "All I have is a small amount of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go round up all the empty jars that you can find. Don't ask for a few. Ask for a lot. Get all the vessels you can. Take all the empty jars. Go into your room and start pouring the oil into each of the empty jars that you are finding. When one is full, set it aside. Keep pouring and pouring until the next one." And so the widow filled her house with empty jars. And she started pouring. By faith it is multiplying. When that oil is poured into the first, it's filling. Then she took the next one. She started pouring. It just got filled up. All the empty vessels that she had gathered got filled up. And then what happened? Elisha told her, "Sell the oil, pay the debt and live with what is left." I'm telling you, there is a parable in every miracle and there is a miracle in every parable. Why? Those empty jars represent us today. And today, as I told you, the oil is a symbolism of the Holy Spirit. If you truly want to be used by God, you want to be effective, we need to allow, open up that the oil will come in and we will be full of the oil, and that oil can be used to bless our lives. We need to but present ourselves as empty vessels so that God can fill us with the Holy Spirit. Imagine, you know, think about that widow who thought, "Oh, if I could also have got some more vessels, I could have filled them also." It is a beautiful thing when God decides to pour out His blessing into our lives. And so today I'm just telling you that God is looking at us. The Bible says His eyes are towards, His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to see how He may show Himself as strong to those whose eyes are turned towards Him. Can you think about that for a moment? God's eyes are looking at each of you right now. And He's seeing, is my daughter, my son, open up to receive the fullness that I want to give him, that I can use him for my glory in my kingdom. God is looking at each one of us right now. And I'm telling you, we don't need to be proud about anything that we have. Our wealth, our health, whatever we enjoy, it's a blessing from God. We are just clay in the hand of the Master. He is building us. Our humanity is like empty clay vessels. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Apostle Paul tells us this. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit in you?" And so this is the final truth I want to tell you before we close. God did not create you to be a decoration in the mantelpiece. God has created to fill you up with His power. And that is what we read in Acts 1:8. And when you wait upon the Lord, He will fill us with the Holy Spirit that we can be witnesses and used by God in a mighty way. We need to open up, and that's what happened. The 120 disciples opened themselves up on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came and filled them, and their lives were changed. The uneducated fishermen started preaching in the open street before the high priest and the learned scholars. And they said, "Wow, look at the change, what has happened to their lives." And people were attracted into God's kingdom. God is setting up His kingdom even today. And He wants you to be a part of it. You may be an empty vessel at the corner, but Jesus looks at you today and say, "Are you ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit that I have in your life?" Can we stand up on our feet right now? I want us to surrender our hearts this morning. Do not go from here, brother and sister, saying, "Oh, another sermon I heard. Thank you, Jesus." You know, I'm telling and I'm bringing the truth very simply and plainly as I can. We are vessels that God wants to use today for His Master's use. We are not to be a decoration and attract people to ourselves, because our beauty can fade away with age. Our health can go away with time. Our money can go away with the stock market. There is nothing that is permanent in this world. All that can last in our life is what God can do. Can we just close our eyes? Every one of us, bow our heads for a moment. I want you to surrender your life. You know, He is the master potter. He is at the wheel and He wants to kind of shape you up to be a beautiful vessel. Not only a vessel, but He wants to pour out His Spirit in us. He does not want us to lead us from the outside. He wants to come in and direct us each and every step. Can we just surrender and say, Lord, Father, I want you to have your way. Lord, I surrender to you, Lord, and say that you are the potter and I am the clay. Lord, I have got nothing good in me. There is nothing I can boast before you, Lord. I am here because of your grace. It is by the grace of God that I am still alive and breathing. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but right now, I'm getting a chance to surrender my heart. Brother and sister, each of you, I want you to surrender your heart before God. You know, I don't know if you have accepted Christ in your heart. If you have not, I give you an invitation. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Come into your life that He can change your life around. He can use you as a wonderful vessel. That He can fill you and He can equip you. He can train you. He can lead you to be a blessing to so many people. Among your family, among your friends, at your workplace, wherever you go, you will be like a vessel. People look at you, they will see the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. Can you just surrender your hearts? Lift up your hands before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to surrender myself before you. Lord, I want to be used for my master. Lord, I am just a handful of clay. From clay I have come. I will return back to the clay from where I have been formed. There is nothing I am going to take with me, Lord. All I can do is to be used in the time that you are giving me. Father, Lord, use me. Can we just pray, Lord, use me, Father. Use me for your blessing. Lord, I empty myself of my pride. I empty myself of my self-ambition. I empty myself of my pre-nomination. I cannot come before you bare, and I come and ask you, Lord, fill me and use me, Father. Oh, Father, use me, Father. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just sing and worship the Lord? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Thou art the potter.
Thou art the potter.
Life journey. I want to be a blessing for the people, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. You are the potter. I am the clay, Father. I want to be a vessel of my master's use. There is nothing good in me, Lord. Lord, transform my life. Renew my heart. Make me, Lord, to be like you, Father. Lord, make me, Lord, to understand the great purpose that you have for me. Let me not rest on my laurels, Lord. Let me not sit back and say somebody else can do it. But let me step up and do the will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for your people this morning. Each and every one of you, of them are precious in your sight. You have created us with a divine purpose. You have a great plan for us. Help us not to sit back and Lord, be Lord, gathering dust over us, Father, not being used by you, but we want to be of use, Father. We want the Master to take us and fill us and use us, that many will be blessed because of that. This morning I pray blessings upon your people. I pray that these days give us a thirst for more of you, Lord, to get filled with your power, being led by your Spirit, to grow daily, Father, to be the servants that you want us to be. Thank you, Father, for speaking to our hearts. Lord, we acknowledge one more time, Father, you are our everything. There is nothing in us to boast about this morning. I pray for your people as they go from here. Lord, bless us and send them, Lord, and use them in the places where they are to be a blessing to the other people, Lord. Lord, thank you, Father, for this day. We want to give you all the glory and honor. We bless you. In Jesus' name I pray.